When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You are now listening to the Dynasty Rewind.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to the Dynasty Rewind. I'm your host, Michael Bauer, the best in the business. Once again, back in business. Joined as always by my faithful co-host, Nate, Professor Christian. Nate, what's up and welcome back.
Hey, Mike. I'm excited to be here. I was here last week. I'm back again this week. I'm going on vacation, but I will be back again next week. So it's really going great.
I was going to say, he was here last week, here this week. Spoiler, he'll be here next week too. Nate's taking some time off, but not until May. So we got him for a while, which is great because the NFL draft is coming up, which means your rookie draft is coming up. And Nate, I was looking through some rosters the other day, and there's just some pollution at the bottom of the roster, I guess we could call it. So today we're talking about players that we need to dump. Before our rookie drafts, it's important, and you know, I understand, of course, we want to try to get any sort of value that we can for any of these players, but there are certain circumstances where it may not be possible. So we're just going to set you up with a little keep trade cut scenario. Got some players listed here. Nate, let's get right into it. Let's start out. I know you are not a fan, but Houston Texans running back Damian Pierce, keeping, trading, cutting. What are you doing?
All right. I know Bob asked, you know, he was like, who do you guys want to talk about in this segment? He gave us a list of names. I pointed out Damian Pierce. He asked, Nate, if I put Damian Pierce on this episode, are you just going to say I told you so? And I said, yes, I'm going to say I told you so. Look, Damian Pierce, he still has some value, though, so I'm not cutting him. You know, he still had a pretty good rookie season, just he didn't get to keep his job. As soon as there's an opportunity for somebody else to take that job, someone else got it. Devin Singletary did a pretty good job with that. And then they brought in Joe Mixon. Because they're putting together a really good offense over there in Houston. So Damian Pierce, still the backup as of right now. I do expect them to add another running back in the draft, another day three running back in the draft. So with that being said, I do want to move him. I'm targeting the Joe Mixon owners. So even if I can get a third, like a late third, I'd be fine with as well. Just trying to get a re-roll on a day three running back at this point. You know, I think there's a couple of day three running backs in this draft class that I feel pretty similar to how I felt about Damian Pierce back in the day. So, you know, if they land in an opportunity, there might be, you know, a situation where you move this guy for a third round pick and you're still getting something decent out of it. So,
yeah, I'm not. So I think that there's some caveats in some of these guys that we're talking about. So I'm trading if I could find a believer. If not, and I'm not going to get a good deal, I'm just going to hold on to him for now because Mixon is getting older. He's approaching 30. He's taken a lot of carries in his career. But the reason why I would look to move him, he's not going to have as many opportunities as he did last year with Mixon in town. Mixon's healthy. He's going to get, I would say, probably 75 to 85% of the snaps, I think would probably be a good estimate. Could possibly even be more in some games. So look at this. Last year, Damian Pierce was supposed to be the guy, right? We went in all intents and purposes. Damian Pierce is our guy. He had a good rookie season. He had 145 carries and 13 receptions, while Devin Singletary, who's supposed to be running back B in that committee, 216 carries and 30 receptions. So just for, you know, sake of argument, Joe Mixon had 257 carries and 52 receptions. So we see that Mixon can do it. He's done it numerous times. Damian Pierce also missed three games in 23 with an ankle sprain, made his efficiency plummet, Nate, from 4.3 yards per carry to 2.9 yards per carry. Gross. And look, you know what? He also missed four games in 2022 with a high ankle sprain. So 2 years back-to-back here with ankle injuries, is there a concern? I don't know. I mean, I understand that's one of those things, but it's a repeated thing now. So I think at best right now and for the rest of his career, Damian Pierce could be a high-end backup and that's about it. So, I mean, I would say during the draft, I'd look to move him.
Yeah.
Right now his value at keep trade cut is a 24th third. can I get a late second? I don't think so. Two thirds, maybe staggered thirds, a third and a fourth. Straight up late third, probably all you can get for Dameon Pierce right now.
That's what I'm thinking. And, you know, you take a look at the final six games of last year for Dameon Pierce. Over the final six games, including the wild card and the divisional game, he had 19 rushes for 34 yards, zero touchdowns on the ground, three receptions for 13 yards, and had zero touches against Baltimore in the divisional round.
Gross. It's not good.
Not a great end to the season.
No. Devin Singletary, you know, also Devin Singletary, a buy for me right now. He's just a guy that they're always trying to replace wherever he is, Buffalo, Houston, and he's just always really productive. So right now he's the running back one for the New York Giants. And yeah, is it a bad situation? It is, but someone's got to make the most of it. Why not him? But hey, let's move on and talk about our next guy, and that is Seattle Seahawks tight end Noah Fant. Remember when people were calling him Noah Fantastic and I wanted to vomit? Good times. But what are you doing? Keeping, trading, cutting? What are you doing?
Yeah, I am keeping Noah Fant. You know, currently he is the tight end one on the Seattle Seahawks depth chart. And since 2010, Mike, he ranks 16th for most fantasy points from any tight end over their first 5 years.
Really?
He's got 252 receptions in that time, which ranks 14th for tight ends in their first 5 years. Tied with Eric Ebron, actually, and right ahead of Dallas Goedert. So, David Njoku, who on his first 5 years only had 148 receptions. So sometimes these tight ends take a while to develop. Sometimes they take a while to break out. Noah Fant, we know he has the talent. And he had the draft capital because he was a great prospect coming out of college. So maybe this is finally his chance. And he's still cheap enough. I don't think I can move him for enough at this point where it would be worth it. I'm also a tight end hoarder. I think you probably are the same.
So, I would. You know, really not me.
So, like, I'm going to keep Noah Fant at the bottom of my roster. You know, I usually have like two or three tight ends on my bench there. Right now, like I said, he's the tight end 25 on keep trade cut. So I don't feel like I can get a lot for him. And with the upside that he has being the only really good tight end on that roster right now, I think there's some upside there. So going back in time, in 2020 and 2021, he was the tight end 11 and tight end 12 in points per game, respectively.
Okay.
So he's shown us he can have production. That was with the Broncos in a different situation. The Seahawks traded for him when they moved Russell Wilson. This is his opportunity. If he can't do it this year, I'm going to be out on Noah Fant. But I want to give him one more chance because of the opportunity now. And the fact that over the past 4 years, he has been top 12 in tight end separation per player profiler. So he's athletic. He can get down the field. He separates from linebackers. He's only 26 years old. There's still upside here with Noah Fant. I'm definitely keeping him.
Okay. Yeah. And I'm going to do the same thing, but I'm going to be realistic about it too. We're not getting a stud tight end, although the upside is there. He was tight end 32 last year. Seattle had some very inconsistent quarterback play. He was tight end 17 in 2022 when Geno Smith had a resurgent season. Could be a good solid bye week filling, injury filling guy. And look, Ryan Grubb, who was the offensive coordinator at Washington University last year, he's in town. Does this open up the offense? Maybe some narratives come true. Michael Penix Jr. gets drafted there. His OC goes, you know how I'm sure we'll hear it come closer to draft weekend. But that wouldn't necessarily be a bad thing. They do need to think about their quarterback situation. They have Geno Smith. They have Sam Howell. So there's potential there, but I don't know if there's any long-term solutions. But whatever they do in the draft, or if Geno Smith returns to his 22 form, it's nothing but good things for Noah Fant, in my opinion.
Yeah, I like him as like a tight end 3 on my team right now.
Yeah.
You know, he's not my backup tight end. If he's your tight end 2, you need to go find a new tight end 2.
Yeah, exactly. So let's move on and let's continue the disappointment streak. And let's talk about Carolina Panthers running back Miles Sanders. Nate, you got to say I told you so. And everybody that I told to buy Miles Sanders and it didn't work out, they get to say I told you so to me. Hey, I'm sorry. It looked like it was going to be a good fit. Go by Chuba Hubbard. But what are you doing with Miles Sanders?
I guess I'm keeping him because I can't trade him for anything right now. And the fact is he has been a good running back before. We've seen running backs come back after one bad year and still have some kind of significance. Maybe, you know, I don't expect Sanders to come back and even have like a top 24 year, but there's going to probably be weeks where you will start him. Say Chuba gets hurt. Miles Sanders, I do think, can fill in. I don't think he's necessarily as bad as he was last year. That Panthers offense was really bad last year.
Yeah.
You know, right now, RB59, 253 overall on keep trade cut. I mean, there's no value for moving Sanders unless he's a throw-in piece to, you know, you're making a trade with the Chuba Hubbard owner and you're just throwing in Miles Sanders in there just to kind of sweeten the deal up. He only averaged 5.5 points per game last year. He did see 27 receptions, though, Mike, which was the third highest total of his career. So if maybe he becomes the receiving back for the Carolina Panthers and Chuba is the rushing guy, I would take that. You know, there's some kind of value there at least, and maybe you can flip him for a third in the season. I don't know if you can even really get a third for him right now, to be honest. And one other thing is Carolina last year, I was talking about how bad they were. They were number 31 last year in game script for running backs. So no favors from Carolina. I do expect them to improve this year now that Deontay Johnson is there, Bryce Young another year. But the upside for Chuba, upside for Sanders, it's low, but I got to keep him for right now because, hey, I need running back depth on like all my teams.
Yeah, I get what you're saying, and it's been real, but Miles, it's time because I can't get anything for him. And the fact of the matter is the Panthers could draft somebody and make everybody that's currently on that roster completely useless. Yep. Sanders was supposed to be the guy. He had 586 total yards. Forgive me. Chuba Hubbard, 1,135 yards. Chuba Hubbard, by the way, on the last year of a rookie deal, he could be extended. Sanders getting older. There's also a possibility where they both play this year. They split time with that new incumbent back, and they're both gone next year. Mm-hmm. And it was just a massive waste. He could get cut in training camp. We don't know. But I feel like his shelf life is just getting shorter and shorter. So I don't, like I said, I don't think there's anything there for him. And he's one of those guys where if I have to make a tough choice to stash somebody else that has more upside, he's going to get cut. So, Nate, let's move on and let's talk about Cleveland Browns wide receiver Elijah Moore. Are you keeping, trading, or cutting?
I'm trying to trade Elijah Moore. Honestly, I've been trying to trade Elijah Moore if I had any shares. I've been trading him since he entered the league. I've never been as high on Elijah Moore as a lot of people. He is in the final year of his rookie contract. They just brought in Jerry Jeudy over there in Cleveland. And, you know, a lot of people thought that Elijah Moore was going to be better after the catch. But throughout his career so far, only 3.4 yak rec, Mike. 3.4 yak rec. It's not that great.
Got to hit me with that yak rec, though.
Yeah, I got to get it in here. And also only 1.16 yards per route run. So really just inefficient. Hasn't really been able to do much. But for some reason, he's coming off a career year. Did you know that? 652 yards last year. That is a career high for Elijah Moore. I'm going to use that to try and move Elijah Moore for a third. Like, can we use the nickname feature here on Sleeper under Elijah Moore? We'll sell for third round pick. See if we can make it happen. Because I don't want to keep Elijah Moore on my team. You know, I don't believe in that Browns offense to be a really high-powered passing offense. You got Amari Cooper there. Jerry Jeudy's got signed to an extension. Elijah Moore at best is wide receiver three, but they like Cedric Tillman over there. So, you know, they got rid of Donovan Peoples-Jones last year because they wanted to get Cedric Tillman more involved. I also would not be surprised to see them draft another wide receiver. Elijah Moore is the odd man out here. So if I can get him off my team for a third-round pick, I'd be happy.
Yeah, the one thing that does scare me is they did have a quarterback downgrade this year going from Joe Flacco to Deshaun Watson. I said that. But that being said, I'm going to keep him. And I think Jerry Jeudy will take some coverage away. Okay, that'll open some things up for him. He did average 7.8 fantasy points per game. And though he finished as a wide receiver 54, I don't know how much I don't know if I could get a third for him, but him being a free agent after this year tells me two things. One, he's going to go somewhere where he's going to be utilized a little bit more. And two is he could be traded in training camp. Sorry, I had a senior moment there because sometimes teams do that. But I think wherever he goes, he'll be more of a focal point than he is right now. And if you're saying, hey, why keep him and not Miles Sanders? I think his ceiling is higher than what Miles Sanders can be overall as a dynasty prospect. So keeping Elijah Moore.
You know, to your point about free agency, you know, Mecole Hardman hit free agency. He went to the Jets. And how'd that end up? They traded him back to the Chiefs.
Yeah, but Elijah Moore is better than Mecole Hardman, in my opinion. I think he is. I do. I legitimately think he is better than Mecole Hardman. So
we'll see.
let's move on. Let's talk about free agent wide receiver Michael Thomas. Nate, keeping, trading, cutting. What are you doing?
I'm keeping Michael Thomas because he's 31 and nobody wants him. And he's a free agent now. I don't know where he's going to go. He hasn't signed anywhere yet.
He doesn't know either.
So I'm assuming he's just at this point just waiting to like training camp. I mean, if I could trade him for a third, I would. I would totally trade him for a third, but I don't think you can even really get that from Michael Thomas right now. He has just burned everyone so much over the past couple of years. You know, in our original Dynasty Rewind listener league that we set up a couple of years ago, it's a one quarterback league, and I think I had like the third or fourth pick in the startup, and I drafted Michael Thomas coming off of a wide receiver one or two overall season. And since then, he's probably only played like six games for my team.
Yeah.
And it's brutal. It is brutal. So, you know, if I have him, I'm keeping him because I do think if he gets on the field somewhere, he is still could have like some flex appeal.
Yeah.
Depending on the offense. But also if I, like I said, if I can get a third round pick for him, I would love that. Maybe once he signs somewhere, you can get a third round pick for him because I'm ready to move on. He's 31 years old. He's dealt with injury problems this entire, you know, past 4 years of his career. If I can get out, I'm going to get out. But otherwise, you know, there's not much more to lose on Michael Thomas at this point.
I'm keeping him until I have to make a tough roster decision. And it could come down to that. I would love to move him for third if I could. I don't think it happens, to be honest with you. People don't really want to trade for someone that's not on a team.
No.
You know, if you cut him, he's going to get scooped right up like some of these other guys. He's not signed. It's not good. Is he ever going to be relevant again, at least serviceable? I don't know. If not, I can use that roster spot somewhere else.
Yeah.
Nate, I think this next one is pretty easy. Are you keeping, trading, or cutting? Free agent running back Cam Akers.
Cutting Cam Akers. I don't have any Cam Akers. Never have had any Cam Akers. 2.8 yards per carry last year. One breakaway run on 60 carries last year. Never been a fan. Get rid of him. Come on.
Yep. Two Achilles tears, I'm cutting. He's likely going to be in the UFL soon if he's lucky. And he's expendable in both the NFL and on your fantasy rosters.
Yep, that's quick.
That's what happens when you have an athlete playing running back.
Hey, you remember.
Oh, yeah, I'll never forget that one. Let's talk about Las Vegas Raiders running back Alexander Mattison. Nate, keeping, trading, cutting, what are you doing?
I'm a Zamir White fan. So, you know, I don't think
– Stan?
Stan? I don't know about that, but We'll see. But I think Zamir White is the lead back there. I think Alexander Mattison being the signing of that the Raiders made is a good sign for Zamir White. I don't mind Mattison as the backup for Zamir White. If I have Zamir White, I don't mind keeping him. But also, I would totally expect the Raiders to draft a running back like day three. And I don't know if Mattison at this point is, you know, he's still probably the backup over a day three pick, but is he the backup for the entire season? He didn't really do a lot last year to really make me confident in his ability to hold down that role. I mean, his first couple of years of his season, he did really well in that backup role, but the last, you know, 2 or 3 years, his efficiency has gone down. He has not looked as good. And when he got that full-time role, he was not able to step up to the plate. So, you know, if I don't have Zamir White, I'd be targeting the Zamir White owner. You're trying to move Mattison in a fourth for a third, Mattison for a third straight up, you know, seeing what I can do because I'm pretty out on Alexander Mattison at this point.
Yeah. I mean, he's got the tough uphill climb to be that backup. He's got to beat out Amir Abdullah, who's still kicking around. Good for you, Amir Abdullah, for getting a pension from the NFL freaking somehow. We got Britton Brown, Sincere McCormick, my guy, and Tyreek McAllister. Welcome to the NFL. So,
you know why Amir Abdullah still has a job?
Tell me.
Because he can pass protect. And, you know, about that sometimes with these rookie running backs, and we'll talk about it, you know, as we're scouting. And people, who cares if they can pass protect? I want to see him catch the ball. I want to see him break off big runs. If you can pass protect, you stay on the field. You stay on a team. And that's, for a lot of these running backs, that's every opportunity you're going to get.
Yeah, I mean, it's you're right. It's simple as that. It's the little things. That being said, I'm holding on for now. Zamir White has a opportunity. He has potential, but he's also never done it as a full-time starter. Now, Alexander Mattison, odd, does have a career 4.1 yards per carry, but Nate, he only has 6 career touchdowns. He's been in the league since, I believe, 2019. Ooh. He's actually a pretty decent receiver, though. 100 catches, 718 yards, and six touchdowns. So I think he's a better receiver than rusher at this point. 7.8 yards per reception in his career. This could be a chance for him to resurrect his career as a high-end backup. Hanging on for now. And if you want to move on from Madison, if Zamir White misses a game, someone needs a starting running back. Hey, guess what I have for you? Alexander Madison, and you're giving me a second-round pick. Now we're going to talk about New England Patriots wide receiver KJ Osborne. Nate, you're high on him. Are you keeping, trading, or cutting?
You know, actually, I do have a good amount of KJ Osborne littered across my rosters because I liked him 2 years ago when he was the wide receiver 3, you know, for the Vikings, and he was breaking out every now and then with some games, especially like my best ball dynasties. I do have some KJ Osborne because there are some games where he was putting up 15, 20 points in a week.
It's good. That's a good league format to have a KJ Osborne in my opinion.
But at this point, Mike, the Patriots offense, I don't really want many pieces of it. I like DeMario Douglas over there and then maybe whatever wide receiver they draft this year. But outside of that, I don't have much interest in anything over there. You know, Kendrick Bourne came back. I think Devontae Parker still there.
Devontae Parker is a Philadelphia Eagle.
Oh, he's a Philly Eagle now. Okay, lucky you then. Honestly, I don't think KJ Osborne, I believe he got a one-year deal. He was good in the role that he was for the Vikings in a very pass-happy offense. But on a team like the Patriots, until I see this offense improve, I know it's a different regime now, but they need a quarterback. And I don't know the vibes I'm getting from the Patriots. I don't know if they're going to go quarterback. They might try to trade out. We'll see. I've heard both ways, so I don't know. But either way, if it's a rookie quarterback, say it's Drake May or Jaden Daniels, I don't think KJ Osborne is going to be fantasy relevant anyway. So I'm cutting him.
I'm actually keeping him, and I think this could be one of the things where we've seen these new regime offenses, they come out and they flash a little bit in the first couple of weeks because people don't know what to expect. We've got Jacoby Brissett there, who's at least competent. Bailey Zappi has shown when he's gotten in the game, he's been better than expected. And, I mean, we're looking
– bringing up Bailey Zappi. This is why I keep sending you that trade offer, Mike, because you keep bringing him up all the time.
Regardless, KJ Osborne is ranked at 245 on Keep Trade Cut, so he's ranked around – guys that aren't even in the NFL yet. Marshawn Lloyd, Audric Estime. Then we got Luke Schoonmaker, John Mechie, who I guess RIP John Mechie. Hendon Hooker, Zach. So there you go. You could trade all your Hendon Hooker shares for KJ Osborne. But he has an opportunity to start. He actually wasn't awful last year in Minnesota. 48 catches, 540 yards, and three touchdowns. Like I said, Jacoby Brissett is a competent wide receiver. I'm keeping KJ Osborne as my wide receiver 4 on a team. And if he's anything more than that, I'm happy about it.
I really hope he's not your wide receiver 4, man.
He should be like wide receiver 8. I have so many good tight ends that I don't need all those wide receivers. Nate, New York Giants tight end Daniel Bellinger, my guy, keeping, trading, cutting. Please tell me what you're doing.
I am keeping Daniel Bellinger because we have this rumor going around that Darren Waller is retiring. Maybe he's not retiring. I think he's waiting to find out if Daniel Jones is going to be the quarterback or not. If Daniel Jones is the quarterback, he might be out of there. If it's somebody else, he's probably in. We'll see what happens with Darren Waller. But either way, Mike, Daniel Bellinger is someone that we've had our eye on for a while. We really liked his rookie season. I know you're a big fan. I have a good amount of shares on my teams. I'm keeping him because if he gets the opportunity to start, I think he could be one of the better, you know, values at the tight end position this year. And you're about to tell us all about Daniel Bellinger because he's your boy.
I'm going to say, though, that Darren Waller should not retire. I mean, he doesn't have a guaranteed salary this year, but his base salary is $10.5 million.
Ooh, that's a lot of reasons to not retire.
11.5 next year and 13.5 in 2026. Yeah, he could still play. He's just always banged up.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to do better than what the Giants are paying you right now, to be honest with you. But if you're not there, I don't care because Daniel Bellinger had a really good rookie season in 2022. I'm keeping as well, by the way. That was in 12 games. He had 30 receptions, 268 yards, and two touchdowns. And this was, you know, by good, I mean a fourth-round pick that wasn't expecting to play much, to be honest with you. And if Waller does retire, check out his competition. Chris Mannertz, Jack Stoll, and Tyree Jackson, two Philadelphia Eagles cast-offs right there. I think he could be, at worst, a low tight end, too. Low-end tight end, too. So that's why I'm excited about keeping him hanging around. Plus, where you drafted him and what you could pay to get him.
Yeah.
it's worth it. Tight end positional scarcity, ladies and gentlemen. That's what it's all about. Let's talk about some fresh backup quarterbacks before we wrap it up. Tell me if any of these guys are worth holding. If you do not have the starter in front of them, we're talking about guys like Desmond Ridder, who's now with the Cardinals, Kenny Pickett, who's now with the Eagles, Jimmy Garoppolo, who is with the Vikings, I believe, right? I meant to put it down in here. I'll find out in a second.
I don't know where Jimmy G is these days. Isn't he getting suspended?
Yeah, he is, but he did sign with somewhere.
With the Rams.
Okay, the Rams, which I actually think is a good spot for Jimmy Garoppolo, by the way. Garoppolo, as I like to call him. And then we also have Jacksonville Jaguars backup quarterback, Mac Jones. So, Nate, what are your thoughts here on these guys? Tell me what you think.
Yeah, I'm not interested in Desmond Ridder on any of my rosters. I'm not interested in Kenny Pickett on any of my rosters. Usually I'm like, oh, it's a first-round quarterback. I still have some interest, but I've not been impressed by Kenny Pickett at all. I don't think anyone really was. Jimmy G, maybe some interest on like the deeper leagues because the NFL just can't quit Jimmy G for some reason. I don't get it, but he keeps popping up. And he's behind Stafford now, who is older, has dealt with injury before, as much of an Iron Man as he is playing through injury. So I think there's opportunity for Jimmy G. And if he steps in and he's throwing to Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp, he'd be a pretty good end of the season starter for you in the Superflex League. And then Mac Jones. I still have interest in Mac Jones. I like Mac Jones a lot coming out of college. He does have the first round draft capital. He had a pretty good rookie season, but the Patriots offense, they did him no favors. They didn't really bring in any weapons around him. Matt Patricia was the offensive coordinator for a year, and he's a defensive coordinator. That whole organization just started to just decline so rapidly after Matt Jones's rookie year. I don't want to take all that blame and put him on him. He's behind Trevor Lawrence now. I don't know if there's a lot of opportunity there, but as a hold in a deeper league that's super flex, I still have some interest in holding on to Mac Jones.
I'm not looking to move on from any of these guys right this second in April. Quarterbacks get hurt every year in preseason or after playing for 2 minutes and 40 seconds in their opener against Buffalo. So you never know when these guys are going to be called up. Even if their direct starter doesn't get hurt, another one can. And then these guys get traded into a starting role. We've seen it before. You know what I mean? In that case, you can move on from these guys. You could sell them to whoever wants them, or you have a starting quarterback. It's kind of a win-win either way. That being said, if I had to not, choose whether I'm keeping these guys or not, gun to my head, do you really want these guys? Yes or no? I'm kind of out on Desmond Ridder. He did show some sparks last year, but I just think he's a backup quarterback. I think Kenny Pickett at some point, I think he's only in Philadelphia for 1 year. I think he gets moved on. They're not going to pay him past that. Maybe if you have a lot of room, a freaking huge roster. Jimmy Garoppolo to Davis Allen intrigues me a lot, to be honest with you. And Mac Jones, I'm still in on as well because the reasons you said. I think he was dealt a raw deal.
Yeah, I think he's a good quarterback, honestly. I think if you put him in a competent offense around him, I think Mac Jones could be an NFL starter.
If Atlanta would have had Mac Jones last year instead of Desmond Ridder,
probably would have made the playoffs.
Probably, yeah, because Mac Jones throws a nice ball, to be honest.
He's good. Solid.
Week one last year against the Eagles. All right, that's going to do it for us, everybody. Thanks for listening. Thanks for hanging out. Don't forget, free 7-day trial on the Patreon. Week free. It's on me. Patreon.com/DynastyRewind. Come up in the Discord. Say hi. Until next time, everybody. For Nate, I'm Mike. Thanks for listening. All right, everyone, that is going to do it for us this week. But if you're headed to a game, make sure you check out SeatGeek.com. It's your one-stop shop for all things live events. It offers the best price available. Use the promo code DynastyRewind. You'll get $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Don't forget, if you want to play some best ball, head on over to Underdog. It's the easiest buy-in in fantasy football. And it's not having to worry about setting your lineups, man. That's what it's all about. So again, underdog.com. Use the promo code REWIND. A 100% match on your first deposit up to $100. Visit our store over at payhip.com/DynastyRewind. That's where you find our roster reviews. That's where you find all of our manuals, everything like that. Head on over there now. Grab some merch at spreadshop.com. Link is down below. And we want to see you in our community. And that is patreon.com/DynastyRewind. But until next time, everybody, for my faithful co-hosts, Chev Nooney and Nate Christian, I'm your host, Michael Bauer. Be kind, please rewind. Thank you for listening.